previously on the What's the Scuttlebutt podcast.
As my first time doing this, I wanted to kind of start from the beginning. That it was a pretty easy choice for me to pick Greece for the sake of, you know, What's the Scuttlebutt and some of the content there. There was a lot of World War II things that I got to see. You know, some of the places were very heavy, you know, history in World War II, and the overall tour leader, she knew that. She knew my background. We kind of get to know each other a little bit before we meet. So I sent her some of our content and some of the things that we do in living history. And, you know, she said, wow, this is really neat stuff, you know, because in a country like Greece, some of these things are not really thought of, right? Greece is a very unique country. I will say that. I mean, they're really good at still fighting each other until there's a bigger enemy, and then they'll band together again. But for thousands of years, there's always kind of been this kind of unrest. I mean, we think we've got political unrest in the United States, nothing like that over there. They want to be America so bad. And you can see it in a lot of the touristy places. You can just see that they want to have the things that we could only complain about.
The What's the Scuttlebutt podcast is available on Stitcher, Spotify, Google Play, iTunes, and wherever fine podcasts are found. You can also download the What's the Scuttlebutt podcast, as well as all podcasts on the Digital 410 Network at d-410.com.
Yep. With contacts, straight maniac, Warlock, Sam Hain of Salem's Lot. Sam through the yellow glass,
ticking of the gun. Right now it's too late. We're the most serious thing on the market since date rape. You know, I decided to just, you know, play some Twisted because I'm seeing all these people on TikTok playing like Eminem for the kids. Somehow like Eminem was like the most grotesque, most vile, most, you know, mean rapper of the fucking 90s. No, I can think of a handful more people that had more grotesque, more rude. What record label was Eminem kicked off of again? Oh, that's right. They weren't. I can think of, ICP's Great Malenko album was taken off the shelf 6 hours after it was released by Disney. But, you know, Eminem, you gotta play your kids Eminem for the Gen Z because they're all fucking child's play. What's up, Mike?
All right, fella. Did you get that one out of your system?
Yeah, it's out. I'm just watching. I played Eminem because of the new Houdini song. Like, well, we played Eminem's original stuff for our kids, and they're shocked. They're triggered. And then there's this montage video of YouTube going on, all these little kids listening to fucking Eminem shit from 2000. They're all acting like they're just watched a snuff film. They're like, oh, my, clutching at their pearls and shit. It's like, come on. Like, his shit was like not even remotely hardcore.
Not even remotely, sir.
Yeah, they got him watching that video when I was just a little baby boy. My mommy used to tell me these crazy things. She's telling me that she hated me and she was looking at me.
Oh, they should listen to the song called Kim on the Marshall Mathers LP, the original.
Yep.
That is a...
Anyhow.
Wow.
Before we get started...
We're already started.
I've only got Mike. I've only got Mike in my left channel.
Ah, it's... Mono's making a comeback. You don't know that?
What's that?
Mono's making a comeback, so it's good.
Mono.
I was listening to the Adam Carolla podcast.
As long as we're doing some AM radio shit, I'm good.
I was listening to Adam Carolla podcast. They recorded live at a theater, and for whatever reason, his microphone and everybody on stage's microphone was coming out of the right channel. The crowd's laughter was coming out of the left channel. And it wasn't live. So the producer could have easily just made another track, flipped the audio, and then just made a generic stereo. But instead, you're driving down your car listening to him talking out of your right speaker and the audience listening. And then they would cut the pre-recorded commercial breaks where it was in full stereo. So if we can do that, you can handle that. Can you hear me? Am I in like your left speaker or am I in both?
No, you're stereo.
That's weird.
Am I in stereo now?
No, now you're good.
There he was fiddling with his buttons again.
Yeah, that's what I do.
Yeah, you're coming through with dulcet tones in both ears.
So, speaking of fiddling, I want to give a little update because it was just a few, I don't know, 3 months ago. I was in here bragging about how I got myself a DJI drone, and I know Mike was talking about buying one. I told Mike to hold off because, well, the government. Update on the DJI drone ban. Let's see here. Dateline fucking today. A proposal to ban DJI drones passes a key hurdle in Congress. The measure attached to a larger defense spending bill advanced with a lopsided vote of 57-1. I want to know who that one cat is in congressional meetings. Once again, they never just write a bill, hey, let's ban drones. They just shove it into shit that has to be voted for, right? You know, yeah. We need to probably pay for this defense spending, seeing how we got like fucking the Russian Navy 38 miles off of Florida. So yeah, we need to pass our defense spending bill, but let's go ahead and cram the DJI drone ban into that bill. Supporters of the ban, like Representative Austin Scott, argue it would reduce reliance on China for critical technology. Scott said the ban would essentially remove communist China from our supply chain. Now, how is both of those even related? Reduce reliance of China on our critical technology. There's no one stopping anybody from developing drones here. And trust me, I wish they had quality drones here. Now, I'm not going to get into the full gambit, but what you guys probably don't know, or well, Mike and Morgan do, but the casual list, they're not outlawing the drone. They don't give it. It has nothing to do with flying cameras. It's not the drone in and of itself. It's the technology, which ironically, the technology was designed by DJI to appease the FAA and the federal government. Here's what I mean. We've talked briefly in the past about how these drones, it takes a real asshole to lose one. And the reason it takes a real asshole to lose one is A, much like a smartphone or a laptop, you have to, well, not a laptop, but much like an iPhone, it's registered to an account. So that's cool. So if you lose it, someone else can't just put it in the air. You have to register to account and synchronize it. But more importantly, it uses GPS to fly, and that same app also incorporates all of our air traffic control laws. If you try to fly over 150 meters, it gives you a warning. Hey, if you fly above this, you put yourself in potential issues, some areas of breaking the law, flying higher than the FAA will allow you. More importantly, if you head out to the local airport, you can't fly it. It shows you on the Google Maps, big old red bar, this is controlled airspace. You cannot fly in a space, and it physically will not let that drone. It creates a digital, it stops it. And these are all technologies that no one else made. DJI created this stuff to make the FAA and other developed countries, their governments, happy too. You can't just have these things flying into a goddamn a jet engine's turbine and taking out a plane on accident. Yeah. And like I said, when I flew over Sanibel's Causeway, I could only fly a certain height because there was a med flight path for the hospital over there. So we'll see what happens. It's got to go to the next round. But the sticky wicket in all this is towns like Cape Coral, you're a lot of towns in Denver, Idaho, places where it has a lot of wilderness. A lot of search and rescue municipalities use DJI drones, and they don't use the $250 one I got. They got used like the the $1,400 one, the big expensive ones. And yeah. So if this ban goes through, all these small municipalities, fire departments, police departments. I know Cape Coral, you know, being on the cutting edge, just announced their police department's drone program. So all these companies are going to have to buy new shit. So here's the hope.
Well, even in the construction industry, you have roofers and stuff like that. I mean, you were doing it with your father, you know, making sure that the roof was all squared away.
And what happened?
You know, after, just the other day.
And what happened? But, what did we discover after 2 years?
You discovered that tree limb that was in the.
My dad had a tree branch from the hurricane stuck through his aluminum roof on his trailer.
Yeah.
And because he saw my video, hey, you got a drone? Yeah. Can you come inspect my roof? And I did, and yeah. We found it. My mom told me after the hail. My mom was one of the people in Kentucky had the hail store. The hail was so bad it fucked up her roof and her siding. And she said when the roofing company came out, instead of, you know, it was quicker for them to put a drone up in the air. And then if they saw something, then let's get out the ladders, extend them. And it's safer, right?
It's way, way safer to use a drone as opposed, you know, nowadays, as opposed to, you know, going into those dangerous areas, especially after storms, especially after, you know, even like fires or something like that. I mean, buildings become unstable, you know, after fires and whatnot. Why can't fire departments fly them in there?
I'm sure a claims adjuster for a roofing company could tell you how many times a year a roofer's gone up on a roof after a storm and has slipped on a loose piece of shingle that was pulled loose from the wind or a hailstorm. Yep. But yeah,
my sister bought one specifically because of that.
Yeah, and so here's the hoping that doesn't happen. But let's say hypothetically the DJI drones do get outlawed because of the software. For my sake, I hope other DJI products don't get outlawed. We'll get to that in a minute. We've been kind of Debbie Downering it lately, and you know, it's Father's Day month, right? Father's Day is right around the corner this week, as a matter of fact. All three of us have little shit kids, and some of us have adult shit kids. And so I thought, we'll liven up the mood a little bit tonight. Let's talk Father's Day.
All right.
Now, do you guys have that family member who just can't hold or hide a present? Like, as soon as they get it in the door, they want to give it to you?
Well, before we get into that, let's just say happy Father's Day to all three of us. Neither, you know, we're not going to be on the show until after Father's Day. So happy Father's Day to both of you guys. And
oh, I'm sorry. I thought I said that when I acknowledged that we all three have asshole kids. I thought that meant the same thing, right?
Sure. I guess so. Yeah.
But Mike's newly married. He's got that shiny family. So happy Father's Day, Mike. Morgan, happy you got little shit kids to you after a certain while, you know. But no, you have full of don't. Well, you're a grandfather now, aren't you? Kids.
Oh yeah, yeah. I've got my third's on the way. So
my daughter, because I had my daughter so young, I told her when she was like 18, I said, "If you make me a 32-year-old grandfather, I'm gonna whoop her ass."
I have a friend who her first granddaughter was born when she was 39.
Well, I started doing the math. I'm like, I think I made my dad a late 30s, early 40s grandfather, because I became a father at 17. So, but I was the last child born. So I think he was about 25 when I was born. So he may have made it out of his 30s before I made him a grandfather.
My dad was in his 50s when he became a grandfather.
That's about the sweet spot, right?
Yeah.
Actually, you know.
Yeah, I think so.
I'll tell you.
I think maybe a little younger.
I'll be 53 next month, and my oldest grandson just turned 4.
Yeah, no.
And it is absolutely the greatest thing to be able to be young enough to still keep up with him, but old enough to, you know, to be a papa. So right. I mean, I love it.
I think there's some advantages to having kids younger. A, you're younger when they're old enough to get the fuck out of the house and you can still go do cool shit. B, the true advantage of having a kid as young as I did at 17, when your kid gets to be 15 to 18, you're still young enough to remember what it was like to be that age. Whereas a lot of people who maybe they have kids when they're 45 and now they're in their, you know, mid 50s when their kids get the teenage years, we tend to, you know, change our opinion about stupid, you know, all the teenage assholes.
Well, yeah, there's a major disconnect when you know, like my dad and I mean, we grew up in two different eras.
Yeah.
You know, he was 31 when I was born. I'm 32 now. You know, my son was born when I was 19. So it's like I feel like I can relate a little bit more to him because I only graduated high school fucking, you know, 13 years ago. So,
and let's,
you know, and he's getting, you know, he's getting into those ages now. So.
And to that point, let's all be honest. We're all kids until we're 35 anyhow, right?
Sure.
And so, I mean, we're all central, unless you join the military
I'm still a kid.
Yeah. I was saying, unless you like join the military and like ranked up and got put into positions of, you know, responsibility real quick. For the most part, most dudes are still kids until they're in their 30s. And so, yes, to
my
Mike's
dad
point
is 63 this year. He's still a fucking kid at heart, I swear. The body may not be there, but the fucking mind is right there. He's still, you know, dick and fart jokes and
yeah, but even as a quote-unquote immature dude, when you get in your 40s and 50s, you still start to think more like a 40 and 50-year-old, whereas when you're 30, you can clearly remember what it was like when you're 21 and 18. And so you can relate more to the shit that we look at when we're 40 and 50. Say, none of that shit matters. At the end of the day, the shit you're going through doesn't matter. You're making, but, you know, when you're 32, yeah, I can kind of, you know, so, yeah. So, happy Father's Day to all y'all. I thought it'd be kind of fun. A public service announcement. Maybe some wives and girlfriends and baby mamas can hear this, and maybe some kids can hear this. We're going to do a top 10 of Father's Day gifts that we don't fucking want. So if you're wondering what should we get father for Father's Day, and here's some things not to get us. Here's a top 10. I'm going to give each of you one guess is first round, and let's see if your guess is on the list. Mike, what's something that you think dudes don't want for Father's Day?
Socks or some kind of clothing.
Socks or sometimes of clothing. See, that's pretty broad as far when you add sometimes of clothing. Would we put tie in that list?
Sure. Don't steal mine. Don't steal mine. That's what sure. I was going to say.
Ties. Number eight. Ties are generic.
Nobody wants a tie for Father's Day.
Unless you have unless you're a lawyer or a fucking news broadcaster where you've got to wear a different tie every day. But even still, they probably
doesn't
got
doesn't matter. You still don't want a tie for Father's Day.
Ties are generic greeting cards of dad gift world. Even if you find one you think he'll love, at the end of the day, it's just a tie. Instead, buy him a certificate for tailoring services. There isn't a man on the planet who has a suit that couldn't stand to have it altered, either because it got fat or skinny. This is the perfect gift for dad who likes to keep things nice and practical. I bought a sport coat before we went on the cruise. The first one I was looking at, the sleeves are the perfect length, but it was a little short because of my long-ass torso. Luckily, they had one with a nice long torso, but now the sleeves are a little long, so your shirt don't hang out the length in which it should. Didn't have time to get it tailored before the cruise, but now I got this nice sport coat. I'm thinking I need to go have the sleeves shortened to half an inch so that when I wear a nice shirt under there, it exposes the sleeves as it should. Morgan, give you a fair chance. What do you think? What else do you think is possibly on this list? So let me just clear the platform. No more, no more, no more clothing items are on this list. So don't go
grilling
with
grilling tools.
What was that?
Grilling tools.
Grilling tools.
Spatulas and tongs. And
Spatula City. Spatula City. Spatula City. Spatula City. We sell spatulas. And that's all. Let's see here. I will give you half a point because I was looking at another list that had that, but I thought everything else on there was way too boring and generic. But I will give you the same respect that I gave Mike. And so in the food category, wine, cheese, or chocolate. Sure, all these are delectable gifts, but they're so boring and so expected. Nothing says I remember this Father's Day this morning better than a package of wine and cheese in a basket. Instead, buy him tickets to a wine tasting, cheese sampling, or chocolate making class. If Dad has a penchant for all things gourmet, he'll love these awesome expressions that allow him to spend the day devoted to his food, drink, or obsession of choice. Plus, it makes a great date with Mom. Yeah, good luck with that. You can even score affordable tickets to those local events and have other fun adventures. Real quick, other items.
See,
on
I think like a distillery tour or something like that would be way much better than a bottle of wine or something like that.
Perfect example, Mike. Cousins still live in Kentucky. His father-in-law, he met his wife down here. His father-in-law lives in Orlando. Like, one year he came up there, and they did the bourbon distillery tour. They went to, like, all the major bourbon makers in Kentucky.
Oh, yeah.
That would be fun.
A buddy of mine did that, and I, from the sounds of it, there wasn't a sober one of them by about the third one.
On that,
even though we've talked about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, I think that would be another good gift is you know take your dad or something to go at least to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame
or a museum logistics or a museum that represents his interest. Maybe your dad's a farmer and he's got a fucking hard on for John Deere's. Take him to a tractor museum. Yeah. What Mike said, Rock and Roll Museum. You know, a World War II guy like me. Hey, we're going to drive up to New Orleans and go to the National Museum of World War II. Right.
I'm not a World War II guy, and I think that'd be cool as shit.
Yeah.
I don't want to be the turd in a punch bowl, but when it comes to museums, if you like artifacts and like seeing shit that existed, don't go to the National Museum of World War II in New Orleans. I've never been there, but I've had plenty of people on my show who've actually been on the panel there. The National Museum of World War II is modern enough to realize that young kids don't care about old socks and shit from the 40s. It's all interactive. It's all digital. There's actually very few artifacts. If you're into artifacts, you'll want to go to like the National Museum of the Pacific War in Fredericksburg and some of the other museums. But the actual one in New Orleans actually has more interactive movie type modern day digital displays and less, I mean, they do have, you know, planes and large scale shit, but you know, if you want to see like the small scale stuff that you can see, you know, in a lot of the museums, it won't be there. So that is the main difference between those two.
That's me personally. I'd rather see like all the shit.
Yeah, you know, me too.
What they were using and
I'm with you.
Yeah.
You know, K-bars and stuff, you know, shit like that.
Because, let's be honest, that shit you guys have, I could go watch that in an IMAX theater and get the same experience, right?
Yeah.
You can't watch a, you know, a picking up the helmet or actually seeing, oh, shit, there's, you know, there's Wild Bill Garnier's helmet. You know, the guy, he actually lived, that, there's his fucking helmet, opposed to seeing it talked about on a video screen. He's like, well, I could watch Band of Brothers and get the same effect. Back to what Morgan was saying, what do you guys think would be more enjoyable? I guess it depends on how much of an alcoholic you are. A bourbon distillery tour, a wine distillery tour, or one of those world of beer things like they have at Hammond Stadium where you show up and there's like all these vendors and you just walk around the Dixie Cup trying different beers.
I think the bourbon distillery.
What if it was a level playing?
I'm not a wine guy, so.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It depends on your
preference. I didn't mean to say the last two, but I'd do the beer and I'd do the whiskey. Wine, yeah, maybe if my wife wanted to go, but
I wouldn't do the
I'm with you.
I wouldn't do the beer, and I didn't do the beer. I had options too when I worked at the radio station. And the reason why is I'm that asshole that you guys take out. Hey, we're going to go to the fucking House of Beers. They serve 200 beers on tap. Poor Stan has done this with Don. We've gone out to the World of Beer three times. Guess what kind of beer Don orders when sitting at the World of Beer?
Miller Lite.
Miller Lite.
Yes, and sadly they don't have it, so I get some other random light beer. I'm not a beer aficionado.
I do the same thing. I got taken to what's it called? Oakenstone down in Naples. And I think it's Oakenstone or
you got any natural light.
and they've got all, you know, 100 beers on the wall, and I'm the one guy that's like, which one tastes the most like Bud Light?
Yeah.
So when I go visit my kids in Huntsville, we go to this microbrew place that has great pizza. And, you know, same thing. They've got the video screens up on the wall with like 90 different beers IPAs with all these weird ass names. Yeah. And my kid will stand on one side of me. I'll be looking at the bartender and they'll see that I'm completely lost.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I just want regular guy beer. Give me something that tastes like Yingling, or you know.
But sir, can't I recommend to you this wonderful IPA? It's called Last Weekend Socks. It's really delectable. It goes very well with a hamburger. No, fucker.
They'll laugh at me when I'm like, just give me some regular guy beer.
Yeah, and then they look at you like you're some like fucking moron. Like, oh, look at this. Look at this guy.
I can't.
Yeah, well, you know, they already look at me like I'm completely out of my comfort zone.
Hey, because look, pal.
I'm, you know, twice as old as everybody in the place because I'm there with my kid.
If I want to order something fancy, I'll go with that Stella Artois.
Stella Artois. See, I don't care for the IPA scene or the, you know, and I think that's like bougie, like. Fucking, you know,
I drink nitro brew and I drink IPAs
like, and I specifically Don and I know somebody who's just like that, and he calls my Bud Light and Budweiser water beer.
Mental note, cancel sponsorship meeting with Cape Coral Brewery tomorrow.
So I'm not a big IPA guy. The only one that I like, and I don't even, I think it's Sweetwater, maybe is the
piss water.
And it's their yeah. And it's the 420 IPA. And it tastes like bong water basically, but for some reason, you know, I can tolerate that, but most other IPAs I can't.
Believe it or not, I think my favorite beer, I heard about it from a YouTuber or something like that a while back.
Last weekend
it was called Lone Star.
Yeah, that's old Texas beer. Stan Haney used to talk about that too.
Well, I at the time I couldn't find it anywhere, especially in I lived in North Carolina at the time. It's only local in there. I mean, now they'll ship it to other areas, but it's like a six pack is like $15. So
yeah,
like
we had somebody send us a case of it when Stan Haney was talking about it. They sent a case from Texas.
Matter of fact, you know what? I might have heard it on Stan and Haney, and you know, I was like, oh man, I got to try that. And we went to Texas for a concert, and I got to try it, and I was like, man, this shit's fucking awesome.
Speaking of Texas, congratulations to Dr. Pepper. Mike, are you one of those Pepsi pussies? That's a yes. That's a fucking affirmative of I've said.
No, if I go get soda,
vodka.
If I go get soda, I usually go for a Coke.
Okay,
I'm from the South. Everything is Coke.
That is so true. We'll get to that in a second. For some reason, I thought you were one of these Pepsi pussies. No, by the way, I don't know if you guys probably heard Dr. Pepper has surpassed Pepsi.
Number two
now. Yeah, because Pepsi tastes like fucking stale Coke. Only Pepsi product I drink is Mountain Dew, which Mountain Dew needs to like do like we what we want to do with California and break off. but yes, to Mike's point, I remember growing up in Kentucky, especially 1980. You come to my house, my cousin's house. Hey, Mike, you want a Coke? You say yes. You say, what kind? What do you have? Mountain Dew, Mellow Yellow, fucking orange.
Yeah, it didn't.
Soda was Coke.
Yep.
You had Coke, and then you had all the subcategories, whether it's Mountain Dew, Dr. Pepper, Coke, Cherry Coke, Orange Crush. Everything was Coke.
Growing up in the Northwest, I had a completely different experience.
Soda.
Everything out there was a pop.
Yep.
Yeah.
Kentucky, it was Coke. Ohio was pop. And then I know some people from the Northeast called it soda or soda pop.
Yeah, you're one of those fucked up ones if you call it soda pop.
Soda pop.
Yeah.
Do you guys have one of those members in your family who just can't, like, store a gift? Like, it's Father's Day. The gift comes today. And like, here, open it. It's like, it's not Father's Day. Well, maybe it's your birthday gift. My birthday's not today either.
My youngest son is like that. He's just so excited. It's like, here, got you.
When we first adopted like Sariana for Christmas, you're like, oh, Dad, here's your present. It's this. It's like, I tell you what it is, but you unwrap it. She's so excited. Well, today's that day. I came home today, and my Father's Day gift was here, and Carrie was like, open it. I'm like, huh? She's like, open it. I'm like, it's not Father's Day. She's like, well, maybe it's a birthday present. My birthday's the 29th. It's even further away. We've been trying to improve things here at Digital 410, especially when it comes to our video editing and all that. Did you guys see the Matt Lachey video, what we did?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That was Carrie doing the voiceover work.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And the video I did on the cruise actually has quite a few video views now, but there's a lot of shaky video because I'm holding my hand like this.
Yeah.
Well, we are both members of the TikTok creator. Well, it used to be Creator Fund, but I left to do the TikTok shop thing, which I don't do because I don't want to turn my TikTok into poor man's QVC. Which, by the way, shout out to fucking TikTok for convincing a bunch of Americans to hawk your cheap Chinese shit on fucking TikTok. Because they're doing a great job of that. But as a creator, you can ask for samples. And I'd seen these people selling gimbals, and I asked for a sample, and they denied me. Well, Carrie got me a fucking gimbal for Father's Day, and not only is it a gimbal, back to our previous conversation, she got me the DJI, I think it's like the Nomo 6. And my first question I had, because I had a gimbal for my original GoPro, but it only worked with the original GoPro because it has to take in consideration the weight in order for the gimbal to work properly. And I knew that Ron was still using his old school GoPro, and so I gave it to him because it didn't work with the new ones. And so the first question I had was, how does this thing balance? You know, is it phone specific? No, you have to download the app on your phone, and it tells the gimbal, it's so damn smart, what the measurements and the weight and everything is of your phone. Yep. But this thing, Mike, essentially turns my goddamn phone into a DJI camera. It has follow mode just like a drone does. So I could set this down and record a video and walk back and forth, and it'll follow me.
Mm-hmm.
This thing is freaking amazing. We were dicking around with it before. But, yeah, so I'm definitely going to be using this thing a lot more. So I'm excited for that.
When we had the bait business and we were trying to get that off the ground, we had a community fund that we were putting money into, and we actually bought one of those, and that was probably one of the coolest investments. is
you still have it?
The gimbal. I don't. He took it up with him.
Of course he did. Yeah. And it doubles as a tripod, so it's very cool. I was digging around it earlier.
He's got our lavalier mics, and he's got our DJI Nunum or whatever it is.
Yeah, I got some lavalier mics too that I bought for when I went to Texas, but I never ended up using them. Yeah. I used them there when I did a video, but I haven't really used them here. But back to
the lav, the lav mics are nice when you have that going at the same time. So
yeah, back to the list, just for the women trying to take notes. Number 10, don't get your husband mugs or glassware. Personalized glassware mugs are cheesy, saying world's greatest dad, anyone, or overdone. Sure, they might look cute sitting on a shelf, and dad might get some sort of use out of them, but they're totally unoriginal, uninspired. Besides, what would venture to guess he probably already has enough glasses and mugs to drink from, especially if he's married to a teacher. Every year at the end of the year, Carrie comes home with a fucking metric ton of mugs and glasses that the parents give him. Mm-hmm. Drugstore shaving supply. Simply put, dad probably knows how to find his way around the shaving aisle of a drugstore. Instead, buy him a next level shaving equipment from leather. Oh, this is an advertisement. From leather dope kits for shaving accessories. Yeah, we already discussed the tie. Movie theater gift cards. Movie theater gift cards are a popular choice for Father's Day gift. After all, it's easy. Everyone loves going to the movies. And it's a way for him to show mom a good time, right? However, this gift is sort of a letdown because it's only a one-time deal. Go ahead, Mike.
Does everyone like to go to the movies these days still?
No. I haven't liked going to the movies since 2008.
I haven't been to a movie since Avengers Endgame.
Maybe if it's an IMAX. Actually, I haven't done it. I would like to go to a movie, but only on Wednesdays and only at Regal because they play throwback shit, right? You can go down to movies and watch Blazing Saddles on the big screen, or you can watch Die Hard or watch the original Terminator, which would be cool to watch those on a big screen. But modern day movies, it's like, do I want to sit in a room with a bunch of yapping ass kids, people on their cell phones, people fighting, or watching on my 60-inch high definition screen in my fucking house where I can scratch my balls if I want to and, you know, get up and drink a beer and save it?
A lot of these movies that are, you know, coming out, you know, the video on demand what is it now that they call that, direct from theater or something. Yeah.
You just wait 3 days now.
Direct to video. Kind of thing.
Yeah, that kind of stuff. So, you know, it's you stream it. Yeah, you'll probably it'll be cheaper for you to go to the gas station, get a bag of fucking Skittles, and you know, a Butterfinger bar, pour yourself a fucking fountain drink for
$1.59, and then pay $15 for the movie on demand, and it's still cheaper
for the movie,
and it's still cheaper.
How much is a movie ticket these days? $15?
I think the last time I took my daughter to the movies, it was like $15, $20 a piece.
We used to go to the movies for $20 between three people.
Back in my day.
Yeah, fucking right back in my day. Back you go to a comedy club for the same price. That.
I remember when we used to be able to go to movies for 50 cents.
Damn, Skippy!
I do remember the Dollar Theater. Those were the old runs, the old run movies. That's where I saw Jackie Brown. I saw it at the Dollar Theater.
You get you a matinee for $25 on a Sunday afternoon.
So, kind of like you were talking about with the older movies, Fathom Events has all kinds of cool stuff, and it was supposed to be in 2020. They were supposed to have the 40th anniversary of the Blues Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to go see that in the theater, and then they canceled it because of COVID. So I'm hoping that they decide to do it again for like the 45th, because that's one of the movies I would love to see on the big screen.
Yeah.
Now, for people watching the weather throughout the nation, they know that Florida's getting our asses a little damp right now. Morgan, how's everything on your front? I know like an hour and a half ago you were talking concerned about water possibly encroaching into your home again because you like live in the lowlands.
It's receded nicely. The sun came out and it was bright blue sky, and now it's my driveway is dry again. all the way out to the street, whereas, you know, 2 or 3 hours ago, the water was about 2 feet from my garage door. So,
and I was just recently at your house, so I have a pretty good idea of what that means.
We didn't even get that much rain during the fucking hurricane.
Yeah.
Because when I was here, it was interesting because the sewers in the parking lot here and you know, all the drains and everything like that were backing up today because of how much rain it had been raining for the past 2 or 3 days. When the hurricane came through, they backed up a little bit, but that was only because of all the fucking leaves and branches.
Well, that's what I was going to ask Morgan. Is this a lack of drainage logistics systems, or is this just shit's clogged up and Fort Myers don't take care of their stuff?
Well, where I am, at least, my a good buddy of mine, he's lived in my neighborhood for 50 years. And what, 4 or 5 years ago, before Hurricane Irma, it flooded just ridiculously in my neighborhood, like they'd never seen. And then, of course, you know, so I had damage from that. And then, of course, 2 weeks later, we had Hurricane Irma that flooded my house again. And it's, I think what it is you can only pave and asphalt and fill so many low spots to put up commercial properties and residential developments and all this other stuff that, you know, stick built apartment complexes so we can house all of the people that want to come to Southwest Florida. Yeah. You know, you can only take so much permeable surface and cover it with impermeable surface. And, you know, that water's got to go somewhere. So it goes in my house.
Yeah, that's true.
And if that's not bad enough in Fort Myers, Florida, then you have cases like the woman who died after climbing into a drain, a storm drain in Fort Myers Country Club on Wednesday. She's been identified. Fort Myers, the police say a 44-year-old was naked standing near the golf course when they asked her if she was okay, at which point she climbed down into a sewer drain like a fucking Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle, made her way deeper into the system, got stuck.
And drowned.
So that was kind of a dumb question, because if you're standing by Fort Myers Country Club naked, clearly you're not okay.
Yes, and because for those you not in Fort Myers, you're thinking, Fort Myers Country Club, that sounds idyllic and picturesque. Sure, it was before they closed it down or stopped mowing the grass 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Well, any place where I can afford to play golf is not a good place.
Yeah.
Or any place that allows me to show up with my golf clubs from 1994 is not a good place.
Well, it's funny you say that because my clubs are literally from 1994.
The woman died after she climbed into the storm drain at the Fort Myers Country Club, as we previously said. Fort Myers police said the 44-year-old Adriana Labrera was naked, standing near the golf course when a man asked her if she was okay. Labrera told the man she was okay and that she had her body armor on.
You all right?
I wonder what sort of PCP or mescaline she was on. Do people do mescaline nowadays? He said he pulled forward on Hill Avenue until police arrived. The last time he saw her, she was standing on the gate of the storm drain. I'm sorry, the grate of the storm drain, because I can't read. Reports state when the officers got out of their patrol car, the woman was no longer in sight. The officer watched the grate move, and then he could hear the voice coming from inside the drain. Hello? I'm down here.
So was she looking for Splinter or what?
I think she was looking for it. Advertisements, moving my paragraph from. The report states that when the officers got out of the car, oh, I'm sorry, we already read that part because this advertisement readjusted my paragraphs. Fort Myers police said they arrived when they found the woman in adjacent sewer drain 50 feet from the original location. Firefighters went inside the drain to pull the woman out, but she resisted and went into another drain. It's like Mario's wife. Emergency services arrived to help, but the woman was ultimately pronounced dead inside the drain, according to the police reports.
Oh.
Personal items were also found in front of the business along Cleveland Avenue, including, of course, a wallet and ID. Yeah. So, you know, Florida man's not the only crazy one. We have Florida woman.
I got no sympathy. I'm sorry. I'm an asshole.
And if that doesn't fulfill your bloodlust,
natural selection to me.
If that doesn't fulfill your bloodlust, more Fort Myers fun. Man holding dismembered torso of roommate fatally shot by police. Did you guys hear this story?
Oh my god!
Oh! Is this the Haitian dude that chopped up his roommate because he was pissed off at him?
Let's find out. Fort Myers, Florida. A Florida man was shot and killed by police after he was found holding a knife and a dismembered body while climbing out of the window on Sunday. Well, so this was the torso, and they have it underneath his arm like a fucking stereo from 1980. Like when you break the house, you're like running back.
He's got the boombox up on his shoulder.
Oh my god!
According to the press release from the Fort Myers Police Department, officers responded to the area of Grand Avenue and Waltman Street just after 11:30 p.m. And it was reported that a woman and two small children were hiding in a carport. When the officers arrived on the scene, the woman said her husband, later identified as 33-year-old Willie LeMaine, was actively killing her roommate, according to the release. Officers then found an open door and a blood trail in the front of the home. That is when officers established a perimeter around the home and began giving verbal commands to LeMaine to try to locate him and other possible victims. Eventually, LeMaine went to the rear window and began to smash it out with a large knife, according to the release. LeMaine climbed out of the window while holding a knife and what appeared to be a dismembered body part while ignoring commands from the police to drop the knife. LeMaine was heading towards the officers when he was shot and killed by police, according to the police release. During the course of investigation, it was evident that a violent attack had occurred, you don't say, inside the residence. According to victim statements, the victim's mutilated, dismembered body was found inside and outside of the home. The investigation into this murder and the police shooting are still active.
Oh, wow. My goodness.
Dude went full, well, with the exception of eating them, the dude damn near went full Jeffrey Dahmer.
Yeah.
The victim was found inside and outside the home.
Yeah, I know.
Jesus Christ. What kind of sick, sadistic shit is going on in this fucking town?
I don't know.
I gotta get the fuck out of here.
You need to move back over to Cape Coral where it's safe.
Fuck, I'm fat and I can't run that fast.
I mean, in Cape Coral, let's see. My neighbor down the street from where I currently lived was stabbed 17 times on Father's Day. And then the house I lived in 8 years ago, my neighbor was shot and killed in his front yard for moving marijuana in and out of his house. So come to Cape Coral, at least we don't dismantle people in their fucking bedrooms.
Oh, my gosh.
Jesus H, dude.
Speaking of Cape Coral.
I want to jump in.
Yeah, go ahead. Jump in.
So, you know, we were talking about Father's Day coming up. Tomorrow, June 14th, two of the most important, I don't know if you'd call them holidays or what, but tomorrow is Flag Day.
Okay.
Pretty dang important.
So is this Pride flag or Black Lives Matter flags? Which one are we flying tomorrow?
I don't know. I mean, I'm pretty proud of my American flag. So
One of those old-fashioned guys, silly.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I've been around a long time. So
I got a 48-star flag.
This podcast just got fucking canceled already. So
I have a 48-star flag in here somewhere.
I've got one, too, that was my grandmother's. So, but tomorrow, and Mike, you'll appreciate this, too, is the birthday of the greatest fighting force on the face of the planet.
Space Force.
Made up of the best, highest functioning alcoholics that I have ever had the pleasure of knowing in my life. The United States Army.
Goddamn who cool. Fucking and I think it's
yeah. I think it's 248 years this year. I'd have to look it up, but, you know, I'm a proud former soldier. I know Mike's a proud former soldier.
Right on, brother.
So,
one of the
gotta
coolest,
give props to the Army.
One of the coolest things I got to participate in as a living historian until fucking COVID came. Because oftentimes we non-military people who are wearing these uniforms from back in the day, we often wonder how active military personnel feel about civilians wearing old Army uniforms. My buddy Jerry and I kind of took over our group after Rob left, John left, and we were doing First ID for a while, and we were at an event, and forgive me, this is 2018. I forget the person drank, but one of the guys in charge of the South Florida Army party planning committee, I guess you could call it, his job was to organize the Army's birthday dinner at the Hilton in Tampa. And he asked Jerry if we could come set up a D-Day display in the lobby of Hilton, right? Well, not in the main lobby, but outside of the hall where they're having their meals at. And so Jerry had some, you know, those obstacles you see on the beaches, and we brought tables down there, and I brought my mannequin in the 82nd Airborne uniform, and then I put on my Class B. I didn't have a Class A jacket at the time. And we had set this shit up. Every person who came through there was super excited to see all this. Once again, it's not pictures. We had helmets and web gear and all that stuff. And obviously, we didn't eat with them, but we did get to go get some food in another room. But I'll tell you what, that is like, I'm sure you guys have seen it. Everybody in their uniforms, their wives in like fucking ball gowns and shit. That was some high flute stuff. But every person, and Jerry and I also said, look, we're going to go down there. We're wearing uniforms. Take off any of our fake bullshit ranks we have. I'm not going to go into the Hilton where we're sergeant stripes on my jacket when a real sergeant who earned that shit. So we went in there, just looked like a bunch of privates. No medals, no ribbons, just a basic uniform. Because, you know, I'm not going to insult these guys who actually deserve this shit, you know, by wearing a make-believe version of it. But they were super excited. They appreciated what we did. And so it was kind of like, okay, we kind of got the official pass. Like, you know, we're down with what you guys are doing, keeping the memory of the Army alive and the ability of us to have all this stuff them there for the modern-day soldiers. And every one of them said the same thing. It's like, I could mentally, because obviously they're on their Class A's, but mentally comparing their field uniforms to, as I've said before, we landed on D-Day in our Sunday best. I mean, the guys had on wool trousers, wool button-up shirt, just like they would have worn to church if they were back in tie, a cotton jacket. The only thing that made it a tactical uniform was you put some leggings on your boots to keep your shoes from getting sucked off in the sand. You have a backpack, a helmet, and a rifle. But other than that, they were literally just invading Normandy and what they would have been wearing at home and working at the office.
Yeah. Yeah, I think in situations like that, because, you know, I'm a very big advocate for don't fucking steal my valor.
Mm-hmm.
Don't wear my uniform disrespectfully. Don't, you know, I fucking put on that uniform every day for 6 years. You know, Morgan put on that fucking uniform every day for his time in service, and you know, we fucking earned that shit. And, you know, it pisses me off so much when I see people that are out there fucking, you know, oh, I did this and I did that. And you're fucking lying straight through their teeth.
Yeah,
they're wearing my fucking uniform and disgracing my uniform like that. Where it's different when it's guys like you who are out there, you know, trying to, you know, you're not, you know, stealing it. You're not out there every day, you know, like, oh yeah, I fucking served and you know, I did this and I did that. You're preserving history. So there's a major difference
about it.
And you're respectful about it too. You know, the fact that you guys, you know, pulled your stripes off and went in there and tried to be respectful, that just says a lot alone. You know, would it have bothered them? Probably not. It probably wouldn't have, because they also know that, you know, you're just trying to preserve, you know, a piece of, you know, everything that, you know, guys like us have done, you know what I mean?
Yeah. But the other part of it for us too, was we knew here we are in uniforms walking around in a Hilton, and there's going to be a lot of civilians there who don't know the difference between a uniform from 1942 and one from 2018. So we don't want some civilians thinking we're like some high ranking officials either. So,
right. But, right. Yeah.
But that also did produce the greatest photo now. I have. I have a photo of me walking through the Hilton in Tampa with a fucking Madu slung over my shoulder.
I love it.
What were you going to say, Morgan?
Oh, man. Oh, well, now, especially since they brought back the browns and the pinks, you know, it could easily
Well, they brought back the hats too. They got the leather brim hats now too. They brought those back.
Oh, I know. I know.
That's such a classy uniform.
I mean, they had to do something because, and I think Michael probably agree, we get our asses handed to us as Army when it comes to dress uniforms. Because, as much as it pains me to say, the Corps has the best dress uniforms of any branch of the service.
Mm-hmm. There's mine right there. It sits there every day. It is way out of fucking whack, so don't tear me up.
Oh, my gosh. Look at that.
I need to get my ribbons and stuff fixed because the little pin that you stick through, it broke, actually, the stem.
What kind of ruler and protractor did you use to put those things on? Oh,
fuck. I haven't. Dude, I was 140 pounds lighter when I wore that uniform, so it's been a while, you know what I mean? The fucking rank isn't even right.
I got rid of my... I had the greens, so...
I had both, actually.
Okay.
Yeah, I had both, because when I first got in, they were still doing greens. And then they... I think officers were the only ones that had the blues when everybody was still doing greens. And then they went to this universal uniform type situation where everybody got blues. So I ended up getting greens and I got blues. And
ever wore mine.
No, I wore mine once, maybe.
Blue is kind of an odd choice too, because that's more Air Force, ain't it? The actual color blue when it comes to Class A's.
Yeah, probably.
At least I know it wasn't in the 80s and early 90s. I don't know what
it's crazy because we, Army had blues that were like navy blue. So
yeah. Yeah. I know the dress, the slacks are like a navy blue. I'm not sure if the jacket is, I'm not sure if it's blue or not, but
and then you've got that bright ass white shirt.
Oh yeah,
you have to try to keep white. I mean,
it shines through that jacket. Yeah, yeah,
and God forbid that you know, because we only really wore our Class A's at change of command ceremonies, or we had like a Christmas dinner every year.
Yeah,
that our commander put on that we had to put on the dog for. And that was when I discovered how fat I had gotten since the last year, because I try to put it on and the pants don't fit. And I'm like, shit, now I got to go down to uniform, and get a new pair of pants. And that's expensive.
See, I would actually, those I got the last time I wore those, I was in training. I had just gotten out of AIT in Missouri. We graduated in those. I graduated in ACUs in basic training. And then I graduated in blues. I graduated in AIT in Missouri. And then I haven't put those on. Actually, no. I put them on once for a Christmas party because my uncle, I think, wanted to see me wearing the uniform. And then I haven't put them on since, obviously for, physical obvious reasons. But I was like a fucking 164 pounds I was like 174 pounds when I had those tailored to me, and they no longer fit no more. But
I was 187 when I had mine done, and it's been a really really long time since I've seen 187.
I was just talking to my wife a couple days ago that I want to go to an installation and get them redone. Even though I'm, double that size now, I still want to, keep them nice and stuff like that. Cause I still got friends that are in and as we're getting older, I got a buddy of mine. I mean, he still gets deployed to this day. I mean, God forbid he doesn't come back or something like that. You know, I would want to go give him his proper respect. So,
yeah, that's not something you want to have to do last minute.
Yeah, no. So I would like to get them updated with all my correct awards and my highest rank achieved, and get them all shining and bright.
But Mike sent me a text on Monday or Tuesday. He found something fun in the trash. Where did you find this particular item in the trash, Mike? Was it in your apartment complex or was it here in the Cape?
Mm-mm. Cape Compton.
So you're just driving down the street and you just turn into a recycle guy?
No, it was, I was actually at work when I found it. For those of you that don't know, I work in new construction in the plumbing field, and I was at a job on, I don't remember where I got it. I think it was on Tuesday. I was at a job on Tuesday and I saw a computer tower in the trash.
You sent me a picture of this Diablo tech, and at first I'm doing a second. I'm like,
yeah.
I'm like, did he get in my house? Because I got that same case out in my garage. I'm like, did I throw my computer away?
No. So I was like, oh, that's cool. Maybe, you know, I'll open it up and see, you know, what it's got in it and blah, 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 blah.
So he sends me photos of the RAM and the processor, and I'm thinking, okay, well, it's probably just a box. I'm sure there's no hard drive in it.
Right. No, it's in there. It's definitely in there. This is a full functioning computer.
So it fires right on up.
Huh?
So it fired right on up.
Yep. I get home. I put one monitor on it. I put my keyboard and mouse in. I didn't hook it up to the internet because I don't trust that shit.
Yeah.
I fired it up and it had an odd operating system that I wasn't familiar with.
It looked like a Google tablet.
Yeah. So it's booting, and I'm like, fuck, how old is this thing? Because it's taken forever. I mean, my computer is not super new, and it boots. And
well, based on the photo of the RAM you sent me, which is DDR3, and I think they're at the DDR4, DDR5 now, it's probably about 8 years old.
Well, it said, when I looked up that Kingston RAM, it said that particular one, the date ranges were from like 2008 to 2010.
Okay, so I wasn't too far off.
So, you know, 10, 15 maybe years old. So I fired it up. It took, you know, a minute or so for the boot screen to go through and all that. I'm like, okay, well, you know, it was in the BIOS screen for quite a few minutes, actually. So it finally booted and it had this operating system on it that I wasn't familiar with. But I kind of had a hunch that it was Linux.
Okay.
And I looked up the operating system, and the operating system is more of like a cloud-based kind of operating system. Something that does it was basically, it wasn't really designed for having stuff on the computer. It was more designed for
kind of like what they used to call a netbook. The difference between a netbook and a notebook is a netbook is basically to get you online and you can only install apps like a cell phone.
Yeah, it's literally for internet type stuff only.
Well, and that and, was, you're running a stripped down version of Ubuntu.
Yes.
Because they have a full version of Ubuntu. I actually used Ubuntu on my tech shop computer. Whenever I get a computer and that Windows would tell me was blank and wanted me to format, I would just hook up the Ubuntu. Ubuntu's like, hey, here's all your files. What do you want to do with them? So then I'd copy on another hard drive and come back to the customer.
Nice. So yeah, it was running Ubuntu, the Linux-based operating system. And so I'm dicking around with it, and I was surprised I was able to get into it. No password, no nothing. It fired up. It went right to the desktop. Okay. So I started fiddle fucking with it a little bit. I know a little bit about computers, not a whole lot, but
and if you're familiar with Android phones or iPhones, you're gonna have a lot easier time around Ubuntu than if you've only looked at Windows your entire life.
Exactly. So I found the files applications, and I went in and took a little look-see, looking for pictures and, you know, because that's always the first thing. Somebody finds your phone or somebody finds your computer or anything like that, the first thing they're going through is your fucking pictures. I can guarantee you that.
For honeymoon pictures of your wife.
Every time I find a fucking SD card on the ground or something, I'm looking for fucking titties. So anyway, so
big or small, he loves them all.
That's right. So no pictures on there. It did have one picture of like a coloring book or something. I didn't think nothing of it. But what I did find was all these documents of the builder that, you know, one of the builders that I work for, which I thought was interesting. It was a whole build, the whole build process from start to finish of one particular home.
And we're not going to say what the building company name is.
No, no.
But like, if you're in Canada and you wanted to get coffee, you could go to like Tim Hortons. So yeah, coffee from Tim Hortons is good.
Yeah. So I'm looking at all this paperwork and stuff, and I'm seeing one particular name stand out above all. And then I get down to the bottom of the files list, and wouldn't you know it, if there wasn't tax returns on there from 2023.
Yeah, there's nothing valuable you can get off anyone's tax returns.
No, not at all. Nothing like your fucking social security number of you, your wife, and your three daughters.
Your address, how much money your you made addresses. Last year. Your
addresses, I know where you were from. I know where you grew up. I know what your address was before you moved down here. I know that I know who your current employer is.
And so
how stupid can you be?
If you were like, oh, I don't know, the type of guy who's into identity theft, you just got everything you needed.
Everything I needed to steal five identities.
So first thing we learned is just because these people are using Ubuntu doesn't mean they're smart.
No.
But the moral of the story, this person works for the city. I won't say which one. So when you're looking around your city and you're thinking, well, boy, this place is run like shit. Who runs this type of stuff? The type of person who throws a perfectly working computer in the trash without pulling the hard drive that has all their tax information or wife's tax information. These are the type of people who are running your city. So yeah, if they're that devil may care when it comes to their own personal information, just imagine of how lackluster they are when it comes to yours.
Yeah, no shit. I'm also not fond of the fact that between him and his wife, they make $288,000 a year.
Well, keep in mind, you know, Cape Coral, their mayor, my mayor. You know, it's funny how these things work, right? We need things done. They get to vote on it. But when they want shit done, we don't get to vote on it. They get to vote on it. So color me not surprised when the city council approved a $5,000 a month raise on top of the salary for the mayor, and $3,000 a month raise on top of the salary for each city council member because of cost of inflation, and they're super busy. But for the rest of you fucking common unwashed masses, give us $35,000 for city water, fuckers, because we need your money. You can afford it. We each need $3,000 extra a month, but you can cough up $32,000.
But that's not a... But that's not a pay raise. It's a stipend, isn't it?
Bullshit is what it is.
Well, I totally agree. But I've heard a lot about that, even though I'm not a Cape resident. But I don't understand how they don't get beat down in the parking lot.
Because no one pays attention.
After a council meeting or something.
Because the only people who pay attention are in their 70s and can barely wield a fucking goddamn cane, let alone a fist.
And even if that's the case, what are they actually going to do or accomplish?
Yeah.
What are they really going to do? Yeah, they can, you know, okay, so we've got a bunch of board members and we've got a bunch of, you know, older folks that are on boards and they're you know, super involved in the city and in community development and all that stuff. But what are you really going to do?
It's the same city that was giving out.
I mean, it's, you watch some of the footage from those council meetings over there. And I mean, people are getting arrested and, you know, there's some violent shit going on at those meetings.
Well, and this is the same city that when they rolled out these new 83-gallon trash cans 8 years ago, whenever that was, upgraded to these new humongous trash cans that are picked up by the robo arm. There was news stories where they're giving old 80-year-old women like fucking fines and threats to fines because they were pushing the trash can up in front of their garage door instead of pushing around on the side. It's like, she's 80. She can't push this thing when it's fucking empty because it weighs 90 pounds. It's a 110 mm-hmm. gallon fucking trash can. Yeah. Perhaps you should have thought about that. Hey, let's look how many people, what portion of our population is over X amount who aren't going to be able to push these things through grass? And then maybe opt to give them a smaller trash can.
All they care about is having one less person on the truck because the arm does the work of the second guy who's not driving.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you how I was born and raised in Cape Coral. I almost get sick when I have to fucking say that because I fucking hate that town.
Eh, it's not like you're born in Lehigh. Settle down, Sally.
I was going to say, that's not something to brag about.
Yeah, no, I'm not bragging. Trust me, I'm not fucking bragging at all.
Hey, I like Cape Coral farther than Fort Myers. I lived in Fort Myers twice, and I always came back to the Cape.
I'm not a huge fan. I mean, especially after hearing those two fucking murder stories that we were talking about earlier. Just
severed so between friends.
You know, I lost my train of thought because you fucked me up, so thank you.
Well, just make sure that you don't piss your roommate off and she won't chop you up with a machete and try to drag your head out the window to run from the cops.
No, you're confusing the female with the crazy naked lady who went down in the sewer.
You mean my wife?
Yeah, exactly.
Speaking of crazy naked people, if you want to prevent me, Mike, and Morgan from having to get crazy naked just to get some attention, do us a favor and head over to our website, What's in Your Head Podcast, and sign up and subscribe for Patreon. It goes a long way to help us keep the lights on over here and get things done. We want to thank each and every one of you for your continued support over all these years, and happy Father's Day to all the papas. We're going to keep it a tight 117 minutes tonight because I got another podcast to do in about 45 minutes. So we want to thank each and every one of you for all hanging out, and we will talk to you all next week.
This has been a Digital 410 production.